Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the build-up show. We are joined by Rob Gutman, the Anfield Rap Zone. Rob, very good to have you in. You've already been sitting down with Chris doing the Newsroom podcast this morning.
I have, very enjoyable.
It's been far too long since we've had you in a more casual setting of the build-up.
Is it the show I did with Didi Haman?
It's quite possibly.
In your front room,
yeah.
Your back room, yeah.
That's a long
we were younger men, we had hopes and dreams then.
Yeah, and fewer grey hairs and bags under the eyes. And to be fair, you actually haven't aged since then. I have dramatically.
I've got a good surgeon.
Yeah, let's not dwell too much on this. Let's dwell on the things that are going to age us tremendously. And that's Liverpool this season, Chris. This is genuinely the maddest season already in that there's no easing in. There's no like, oh, you know, we'll just build into the season. It feels like every single game of football is the biggest game of football that we've got because we've set ourselves the target of effectively going unbeaten this year.
And we kind of have to beat Manchester City to the title. I think everybody will know that you finish above Man City this season, you win the league. The fact that they played before us in the last round of the games added a whole heap of pressure that we'd not considered. You're sitting there all weekend, it's dragging so much, and you're thinking to yourself, a draw here is not good enough. Mm. And it's going to be the same this weekend.
I'm at the point now where I would happily do this baseball style, right? Mm. And just play 38 games in 38 days almost. Maybe a couple of days off.
Just be done with it, yeah.
Let's just find out because...
Take the time off work. Well, just strap yourself in.
But, this will be a more relevant conversation, I think, later in the season because I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. But this does feel like a different season, you know. And the thing I always have, Rob, is that, you know, Chris and I are old enough to remember Liverpool's last league title, but only just. You know, like I was there, but I was seven. You know what I mean? So it's not something there's images burned into my brain, but I've got no sense for how the season went because I was too young to appreciate it. This does feel, I don't know, but I've got no point of comparison. This season feels similar to maybe 2008, 2009 in some regards because I thought we had a great team and I had a little bit of expectation that year. But I feel like we're equipped for all kinds of challenges this year that maybe we weren't in years gone by.
Yeah, it does feel like that at the moment. Do you know what? It's interesting you saying that. I felt more confident in going back to the year you just mentioned at the beginning of 07-08 when we just signed Torres.
Yeah.
That season, we'd gone big in the transfer market as well. Relatively bought in Lucas Leiva, Benayoun. Then Mascherano had signed just a few months before. We'd had Torres and Babel. So these were decent signings. We were European Cup finalists from the year before. So there's some parallels, and we start that season quite well, don't we? We start with the late winner at Villa, and we win a few games. It's a cautionary tale because we do slightly fall off a cliff before recovering and finishing top four and being okay, but not the season we'd anticipated. But you're right, this one, I mean, I'm going, you know, I'm older than you. I was in 1990, 23.
Yeah,
so I do. I was in my pomp. The time I was having then. But but I do remember that. I mean, the weird thing about back then, it was sort of routine winning the league. If my abiding memory of that season is we weren't that good. Do you know what I mean? We were slightly better the season afterwards for a good while before it all sort of went a bit pear-shaped where we don't win the league. This one, the early sense of that a momentum might be building, this reminds me a little bit of this early stage of 87, 88, where we'd also gone big in the transfer market in the summer. We'd sold Rush, admittedly, maybe a parallel to Coutinho going. Mm. Brought in John Barnes, Peter Beardsley, John Aldridge a few months earlier. Ray Houghton was to come in quickly. And we hit the ground running. And they gelled very quickly. The football was of an incredible level. And people, but what was where the comparison really comes in is the world outside of Liverpool, outside of our bubble, was going bloody hell, these are good.
Yeah.
These are the real deal. And when that comes from outside, because we always say it's our year.
Mm. Yeah, of course.
And sometimes we actually think we don't even know whether we mean it or not anymore. Yeah. It's a
mantra. There's belief now, though.
I think it's more like the real thing in terms of the belief, yeah. But I think it's because we can hear it from outside of ourselves.
The thing, the difference is normally because it's our year, it's that we say next season is what is the thing that's become the thing. It's rather than it's our year. I think that kind of died off. We had probably 10 years of being, when we had this, that's going to make us take the next step. Well, looking at this game, though, I think Brighton fall into a nice little category, and maybe this is me getting ahead of myself, but whatever. That's the point of everything we do on this channel. They fall into that category, and it's teams that finish between 8th and 15th, 16th in the league last season, who I think are absolutely perfect for us to play at this point of the season. And I think the fact that we had some high score and good results against them last season as well kind of plays into this as well. Brighton are a team that I think, having had starting against West Ham, which was sound, having had quite a hard-fought win against Crystal Palace, you want to get back to a team that, if you just play to the fullness of your abilities at home, you should be looking to stick a few packs.
It reminds me of the first time the main stand opened and Leicester were coming to town, and they were a good side, and we snotted them 4-0.
Yeah,
and there are parallels to that Rafa Benitez side from earlier on that you've mentioned, in that there is a fear around coming to Anfield now.
Yeah.
You know, in the league, we didn't lose a game at Anfield last season, all season long, and teams will be coming here almost beaten.
Yeah.
And now you're looking at it, and maybe you put yourself in a Brighton player's perspective, and you think, the one thing that you could always almost guarantee was Liverpool, if you dig in, you can get something from them. And they'll be looking at that result last week against Crystal Palace and going, Palace are better than us, and they dug in. And they got nada out of them.
Yeah.
And that's what Liverpool will be looking to do all season long. And it's why beating West Ham 4-0 at home is something that they'll be looking at and going, there's no way we can compete with this. Not when they're on song, not when they're in front of that Anfield crowd and they're playing like that and the pitch is big and they're spreading the play quickly.
Yeah.
We're going to have to be at our absolute best to get a draw here.
But does that play into our hands, though? There's still question marks over whether we can put teams to bed when they really do dig in. I mean, those question marks get less and less with every game that we play, of course. But do we, you know, do you think we're there yet? Because like Man City are there. Teams come in and dig in against Man City and they go ahead. They've got their hands together.
If you disregard the Champions League final, Liverpool have just carried on.
Yeah.
There has been no, we're playing the same players pretty much as last season. Admittedly, Gomez is now coming in and Alisson's at the back. But this is just the side that's just picked up where it's left off. Everybody else seems to be going through change at the moment. Whereas we will evolve throughout the season and get better. But our level is exactly as it was at the end of last season when we were going to the Olympic Stadium in Rome and getting results.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, Liverpool watching against the bottom 13, if it's felt like a familiar experience, hasn't it, to all of us for decades now, post the glory years. I'd say, let's pick a sample of six matches against the bottom 13. You'd expect Liverpool, any incarnation of Liverpool, to win three of them at Anfield quite well.
Yeah.
One, to be a struggle, and it could go either way in terms of a draw or a home win. And two, we just don't break them down. And it's utterly frustrating afternoon.
40 shots, no goals.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a loud goal, and that's your only, that was your turn. But remember that Stoke Steven Gerrard game where he stuck in dead early and it got disallowed? It's like, guys.
Yeah, amazing amount of shots. You felt last season, because our record against the top six is a reverse of what it had been the year before, but it's probably our best season against the bottom 13 in living memory. I don't have the stats in front of me, but it was. And I think, I don't know what, but I think we probably routinely beat five to six ratio against the, let's call them, the crap,
yeah.
Right? So we've got to go there full of confidence. You used to have to sort of rely on a little bit of luck to break a team down. I'd slightly calm expectations in as much as I think against Palace, although I think you look at the game as a whole and a lot of individual performances that we did well, difficult place to win, we defend well, we see it out. There's so many positives. If you go rewind to say like a minute before we actually get that penalty, it does feel like it could be a long night.
Yeah.
It feels quite, we've had, you look back, we had some good, decent half chances that half, but it looks like they're doing a reasonable job of denying us the space. There's only one way to play against us, Liverpool, which is to deny them the space and hope for the best.
Yeah.
But we do. I think with Palace, even if we hadn't scored before half-time, we'd have found a way. I think we'd have scored on 60, seen it out for a 1-0. Mm-hmm. We'd have been just as happy that way. Brighton, I think if you're Chris Hughton, you're going to go, there's two schools of thoughts for these clubs. You know what? You can go at them and shock them, and that'll knock them back on their heels. I think that option's now gone.
Yeah.
Teams are not going to do that to Liverpool or City this season. So I think you're going to go, what we're going to do, we're going to have the low block, concentrate the fuck out of it, but we do need a bit of luck. We don't need Liverpool to score one from a set piece and make it easy for them. Just don't make it easy for them.
I think this could be... You get a sense of things and you get different types of games and they start to... We said this last season where we were ticking boxes along the way. It was like, we got a win this way. We got this type of win. We got that type of win. And every time you did that, you proved to the fans and to the team itself that they could win in that way. And it'd be interesting because so far, we've won a game by having the best midfield. We then beat Palace because I thought we had the best defence. And it's maybe we're due a game where either the attacking midfield steps up and does something for us in this game, or this could be the game where Mo Salah and Firmino are back to their best. But I feel like we're gonna need something like that. You know what I mean? Everyone's gonna need to be a bit more free flowing, I guess, to get this game underway. We're gonna have the lads talk through their preferred 11s in a minute, but I think the big question for this one, Chris, is gonna be the midfield again, isn't it? It's forever gonna be. I think we're reaching the point where, at the minute, given Lovren's fitness situation, the back five picks itself pretty much. But, and I think we'll see whether this is borne out when we see the preferred 11s in a second. But
the midfield's always the difficult one with this side and with Jurgen Klopp. It was why I'm so bad at the starting 11 predictions every week, is because he always changed that midfield. And it's the one thing, you know,
That's why
I got it right last week, because I actually thought he'd keep it the same. But I think for me, I've said this last season, if you think of Liverpool Football Club or the team as a car, you know, the engine room is that midfield, and the car doesn't go anywhere if the engine's misfiring. And it's about making sure that you've got the right pieces to be able to give the attack a platform and protect the defence at the same time. So for me, you know, you're looking at it now, and I looked at Crystal Palace, and I thought, James Milner looked a little bit tired there, and I want to protect him for later on in the season. So I'd imagine that maybe he's the guy that goes out. You need to actually keep legs in midfield, because they're every blade of grass, sideline to sideline. They're up and down the field all the time. So that's the area of the field where we know we're going to see rotation more than anything, because it's the area of the field where they work the hardest for the team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this might be the game, Rob, putting our Jurgen Klopp hat and glasses on for this one, where he probably does. You know, that midfield, I think it was perfectly justified in keeping the midfield the same between the first two games.
Yeah.
But this is probably a situation whereby a combination of looking to get fitness, looking to get minutes in the legs, and also looking to save, you know, keep a couple of guys fresh or whatever, this probably is the game where he goes, oh, okay, I'll shuffle me pack a little bit for this one.
I genuinely don't know, is my take on this. But what you both said, I totally, yeah. If that's what happens, that's why, and it's perfectly reasonable to say that. But I could equally convince myself that he goes, no, same again. I think he's often a manager, I think people think he's very calculating, it's all mapped out in advance. I think he discovers formulas, and he goes, that worked.
Yeah.
Let's go with that. I remember the first sort of famous front three setup he had, which was two seasons back, Coutinho, Mane and Firmino. He almost discovers that in pre-season. It's a strikerless system. We forget that now, that actually Firmino wasn't considered a centre-forward by us. So it's a strikerless system. He discovers it in pre-season, I think, because of international issues. I think either Sturridge is injured and Origi maybe delayed comeback or injured. So he doesn't have any strikers. So he picks those three and it works really well pre-season. It goes into the season and sticks with it. Now, because of Henderson coming back late, Fabinho maybe not being ready to be blooded yet, arguably, he goes with almost a midfield he has to pick first day, doesn't he? Ronaldo at the base, Milner and Keita. And he'd done that in the midweek before against Torino, and it looked good. And it looked good against West Ham. And I think he thought, I have to do that again. It must have been tempting to go with Henderson at Palace, but he didn't.
Yeah.
He went with Ronaldo again. So I think he'd be very, very tempted to go, it ain't broke. It's not a, technically there's a week between games, so we go again. and let's see what, and I'll keep, we'll keep going again until it doesn't work. There's an argument for that. But by the same token, there was an 8-game day gap between the first two games, 5 days, which I take your point. Milner just can't come off, maybe looking leggy. Henderson will be champing at the bit. Yeah. He wants an excuse to get Henderson in, I think. Yeah. So, yeah, on balance, he probably does find a space for him.
Absolutely. Well, we will talk through the preferred 11s in a moment. Before we do, as mentioned at the top of the show, Chris sat down with Rob for the Newsroom podcast. Fascinating stuff. Here's a little clip.
Yeah, I mean, I started this season, so you settle down for Leicester Man U as the opening game, and United go and win, and it feels like you've had a kick in the teeth already. The City winning, well, both their games are kick in the teeth. Chelsea beating Arsenal, you wanted a draw. So I was saying to my lads just before kickoff, I said, we haven't had a result go our way. Well, actually, before the Brighton United game, not a single result had gone our way. The only good upside to this is, though, is that you actually get more football for your money. Yeah. So whereas it's not just Liverpool once a week or one and a half times a week, you've got about three or four other games you can bet in, go down the pub to go, oh, I'm looking forward to this, on the off chance it goes your way. Unfortunately, it doesn't often, too often. That's the only downside.
Well, that's it. And that's sort of, you think about it and you think, well, there's about 120, 140 games that matter to Liverpool this season. It's not just 38 games anymore. And obviously, you know, we're going to be in other competitions as well.
Cool. Yeah, you can get that on the redmentv.com. Sign up. It's free for the first month. There's loads of other brilliant stuff. If you're literally the only person in the world who hasn't yet seen the Jürgen Klopp interview yet, get on there. Fascinating stuff. Brilliant stuff, of course, because, you know, I'm in it. let's get into it. Then we obviously got some rather sexual graphics that come up on the screen for this one this time around. Chris and I have gone
what
for exactly
done?
The
what
same.
What have I signed up for?
We've gone for exactly the same preferred 11s here, Chris.
It's hardly surprising, really, is it?
Who knew?
No.
Who knew?
But in terms of what the options are, I think what's interesting is what you've gone for, Rob, though. You brought Fabinho in and you bring in Shaqiri into the midfield. Is this just a fuck it, I'm going for it kind of situation?
It's not what I think will happen, but it's sort of the midfield.
No, but you're the manager for this. This is your preferred 11. This is what you'd like to see.
It's sort of the direction I think we were going in pre-season in terms of Klopp's plans early in pre-season. I think he was bringing in Fabinho, and I think the bonus he wanted was he didn't know quite Fabinho's level, but he was a star at Monaco, a fulcrum of that team. So I think in an ideal scenario, he proves to be better than Jordan Henderson, because what a luxury that would be. Yeah. So the best imaginable version of Fabinho for me starts at the base, because I think Klopp's dreamt it that way once upon a time.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I think if Fekir had signed and hadn't failed that medical, he would be lining, regardless of the Henderson-Fabinho debate, he would be lining up for a game like this alongside Naby Keita.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because that's the midfield I think he dreamed of. The two number eight system, sort of, or eight and ten system. We talked about how City don't care if you low block them. They're just going to throw bodies at you. That's because they play effectively with the front five.
Yeah.
And they back themselves that no one's coming out against that front five. I think Klopp, in his mind, wants to evolve to a front five system, which means that you don't have more than one of a Fabinho, a Henderson, a Wijnaldum, and maybe even a Milner. One of those guys gets a game in the future. And That's why I think Shaqiri, he's tried him there pre-season, didn't he? One or two games. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it'll happen this game, but I could see it happening in a game like this. Shaqiri alongside Keita behind the front three.
I think there's a strong case there. Kind of what we've seen with Oxlade-Chamberlain last season, the way we took a while to get him properly integrated into the side, and we didn't really unleash the full force of Liverpool until the back end of the season. You know, you see him against Man City, driving forward, etc. I agree. We might well get to that. But I like that notion of Fabinho. The idea of it is sound. Fabinho is far more of a defensive six, isn't he? Mm. So he supposedly provides the platform to allow the other guys to do it. I think all I really want to see, Chris, and I think I let me know if it's your thinking, of course, is the team's fine so far. Mm. But as Rob says, Jordan Henderson's got to come into this team at some point. I think we move the ball a lot quicker. You could see. I think Wijnaldum's been really good, to be fair. But I've really enjoyed Wijnaldum playing slightly further forward. We saw it against Torino, wasn't it, in pre-season for the spell. And Wijnaldum was excellent playing in the more advanced midfield role. Keita and Wijnaldum's energy, Henderson being allowed to sit back and ping some balls around. Either way, it's a bloody exciting midfield.
That's why I went with Henderson at the base, Keita on the left and Wijnaldum on the right-hand side. Because not only did we see it in the Torino game, he brought Henderson on in both league games so far, and Wijnaldum's been the person to shift forward and play that role. And we saw it back end, was it the second leg against City or the first leg, when Wijnaldum played that role for Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain when he got injured. He is able to do that sort of transition in movement that Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain could do. And he's very exciting. He gets himself even into a couple of positions for shots last time out, and he's playing from the six. Now, I personally think, I agree with you about the two number 10 system that City have got and how Liverpool will evolve to that. But I also feel like we're going to have a revolving midfield where any two of three can go at any point. Yeah. And that will be why we're evolving City system almost.
Yeah.
Because then you don't know whether Keita is going to sit back for a 5 minute period. You don't know where the run's coming from. And therefore it's much more difficult to start.
Well, that's why Wijnaldum was shocked. By Wijnaldum in that Torino game, doing the little give and go, breaking into the box, like we were at the far end of the ground and going, I just assumed it must be Keita because I couldn't basically make out who it was. I was like, well, that's how I expect to see Naby Keita do. And I was like, oh no, it was Genie Wild. Amazing, because you're dead right. In some instances, there's an expectation of it from Keita. But then all of a sudden, if Wijnaldum's the guy doing it, well, it ends up effectively a bit like what Man City have got in that regard. You still got that five. You're not maybe getting, you know, they're not playing it the same as De Bruyne and Silverwood necessarily, but you're still getting the bodies in. And we've said as well, that's maybe another evolution from, if teams are going to learn to cope with our front three, then great. Well, there's another two players for you to deal with on top of that.
And Klopp's talked about it. He doesn't talk about formations. He talks about finding space on the football field. Mm. You know, he doesn't talk about 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3. He wants the lads in the team to find space, and he doesn't mind where they move to find that space, as long as there's bodies around them for them to pass to when they receive the ball.
Yeah. He also talks. I mean, with Wijnaldum in the past, or when he said the criticism he's received from Klopp is, yeah, the manager's great, he encourages me, but he says I need to score more. And I think that's a bit of a key. And Wijnaldum scores in the Torino game, that was a shock, because he actually only scores twice, I think, last season properly.
He follows it up with a goal against Napoli as well, next game.
The other way around. I do wonder whether he will start to look for goals in the midfield. I think that was part of the plan. I mean,
you're not likely to get more goals out the front three, are you?
No,
so
less
next
actually.
Most likely, suspects have got to be the two guys next nearest to the goal.
And you look at the pedigree. So I think the dream. I think at the beginning of the summer he dreamt of the two lining up behind the front three as being Fekir and Keita. Mm. And if you look at their goals totals for the previous two seasons, Keita's got nines and tens and maybe all comps. Fekir's got around the early 20s, I think, or 19s and 22s over the two seasons. There's a hell of a lot of goals there from what aren't front three positions for those boys. Although I guess Fekir sometimes play further forward still. Are you getting that from just Keita alongside Wijnaldum, or Keita alongside Milner, or Keita alongside Henson? None of those boys have really got a great... Even Adam Lallana, his best season for us is 5 or 6, I think. That's why. If it was me, I'd go, this is one for Shaqiri.
Yeah.
Shaqiri does give you nines and tens, I think, from that position.
Oh, you've convinced me, Rob.
No, I like that. I'm all in on that. But my concern of this is, like, because the Fabinho thing makes sense, but I'm also like, but what at home? Let's put Henderson in there, do that. But Henderson in, and then let's
do we need a defensive midfielder?
Let's just leave Van Dijk on his own at the back with Alisson. Let's have them play both play centre half, and it'll be.
I play Alisson behind the striker.
Oh, God.
In a Mowgli-esque role in the middle. Yeah, he's got the passion range for it.
Up and box to box, maybe alongside Naby.
That like pass completion graphic from 442 Stats Zone or whatever it's called, for the Alisson thing for Palace.
The 21 of 23 long passes completed.
Is that what it was? I mean, it looked that
21 of 23, 10 of 12, I think, long passes, but they were scandalous.
They were
scandalous.
Pinpoint. I'm not. Yeah, ridiculous. Yeah, Xabi Alonso would have been proud. Gerrard in his pomp, proud.
Soon you're looking at him, you're kicking the ball, and you think, oh, he can't do it. Oh, you can do another one. That's fine. And one of them sailed over Mane's head, and I thought, that's it. That's the one he's missed. And then Trent was there, and I was like, ah.
We have, I think, in the second half, three mad counters, don't we? Whereby they're absolutely on their arse, Palace. One ends up in the one where Salah goes around the keeper, then has to cut it back for Keita, which is very close chance. The other one ends in the sending off,
yeah.
And the final one ends in a goal. How many does he contribute to two
he
of
contributes,
those?
He doesn't contribute to the last one because Van Dijk heads the ball out from the corner.
Right, yeah.
But someone plays a ball back to Alisson inside his 6-yard line and he just dinks it over to Robbo for a storming run down the centre.
There's one where he sends it to Firmino, left wing as well, isn't there, where he just basically pings it to him.
Yes.
And he gets him behind and he brings it down. And it's that thing of,
what it means though, what I was working towards, is that's a goalkeeper that's going to give you points. Mm, and I don't just mean points because he's going to dig you out with a last minute save like De Gea will. But he's gonna get you goals. There's goals in him. You know, that's mad to say about a goalkeeper.
This is the thing, isn't it? You know, we're in this situation now, and people have got cottoning on to when teams play out from the back, what you do, and that's why it's hilarious watching Arsenal trying it for the first time because they are so far behind in the development of how you do that. That when you're learning the basics, everyone's got the basics like Internet for Dummies, isn't it? You know what I mean? Mm. Everyone knows how to handle teams that are just doing this. Whereas we've gone beyond that now, and it's like you watch Alisson do this where it goes to the fullback, he's making it work, and then he goes, he's going to the fullback this time, and he just pings it to the DM without batting an eyelid. And then they go, okay, well, we'll cover this, and then he just sticks it 60 yards down the pitch. Perfect ball out of nowhere. Yeah.
One of our subscribers commented on one of my videos on the website this week, the Stats and Tactics show, and I talked to you about this, about how Alisson sort of doesn't move before he plays the ball. Like he just stands there looking like he's conserving his energy. Mm. And one of the comments that we had on the show was apologies to the subscriber. He believes it's because he's not showing his hand. Now, if you stand perfectly still, you don't know whether he's going left, right or centre.
True.
Mignolet would play the ball over there, start looking at the man that he wants to hit it to, and then telegraph his football.
Yeah, he's like, the way that Mignolet took goal kicks was like the old FIFA games where there was an arrow and you had to point it in the direction where it was. You had to hold the button down and the arrow would stretch out and you go, right, Sam, it's going there, is it? Whereas it's like it's more like the moment where you can push it in any that. Yeah, that's exactly
it. Against Palace, did he throw things out accurately?
There was one to the left back where he did an overarm throw that bent in front of the Robertson.
Did you see, you said you were at the Croatia, you were talking about this, the Croatia-Brazil friendly at Anfield. I was at that game too, just before the World Cup. His throwing that day, he didn't have anything to do really in the game, but he was throwing the ball past the halfway line at great pace and accuracy. And I think that's going to come in handy because there's going to be times where the pre-match talk from the opposition, they're going to go, do not let this lad kick the ball, right? Don't let him get it in his hands and look up. So strikers are going to be going, they're going to have to be closing him down in pairs, like he's a centre-half. And I think possibly Palace even look at that because it's interesting. It's the second half that Alisson finds the room to get his kicks away because they're tiring. They don't want to have to do those 20-yard sprints to close him down.
Yeah.
We've never talked so excitedly about a goalkeeper on a build-up show before.
Never.
He might be the key to victory this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Every single game. Just briefly before we wrap up, some interesting fixtures this weekend around the top six. The Man United Spurs one on Monday night.
Is it Monday night, that one? Oh, nice.
That is
if we can win.
Wembley or Old Trafford?
Old Trafford. So that's the one. That is a And if we can win. For the neutral.
If we can win, he's just said there.
I know, no.
Are you talking about the Liverpool game, or are you talking about the United Spurs game as the win?
No, Liverpool game.
Yeah.
I have this
get our 3 points safely tucked up, yeah, and then get your feet up on Monday night and watch that game with absolute interest.
Yeah, if we drop points, I'm going to be in a depression. This is the problem with all this optimism. Yeah. Like, we're all balloons waiting to go.
Yeah.
Right. And if we don't win, I don't want to watch another game all weekend. I'll find out Man United score a week later.
Yeah.
But if we do win, I'll be watching the Championship, the Scottish League, this anything.
This is the beauty of these games, though. When we've had one every week, haven't we? Pretty much it's like the top six clashes where you've got some... There's a game where you can watch knowing that a team that you don't like is probably going to drop points, and ideally both, yes, which would be amazing. Yeah. A nice hard-fought draw... With just heartbreak at both ends is
showing great. Frailties.
This Man United Spurs game is absolutely ideal because they're the two teams I think who are going to be. I don't know what Chelsea are going to be this season. It's too early to tell, I think, for them. But Spurs and United, they've got every chance. Their fans are thinking they've got eyes on second place. We're very much like, well, we'll finish we'll definitely finish at least second this season, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Their fans think exactly the same, and I know the Man United fans are more on edge at the moment, which is what makes this even more lovely than ever, because if Spurs win, then Man United go into complete and further meltdown. But Spurs have been, it's been bubbling under for them. So if United win, bearing in mind that everyone's looking at United as the crisis club, Spurs go into absolute meltdown off the back of it, but it also doesn't fix Man United. So,
the Chelsea Arsenal one was the first of those we had the other week. I didn't want Chelsea to win it, but the manner of their win was satisfactory in that they were wide open. Yeah. They were a little bit crap. Arsenal can be encouraged by certain things, but they are definitely more than a little bit crap alongside it. So Arsenal got 0 points from six. That's sound. They're not back.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then also Chelsea going away to Newcastle. It's got a Rafa grind about it. That another one where everyone...
He disappointed on the Rafa grinds last season.
He did.
Yeah,
he did.
I was always looking out for them, always predicting them, and they never really came through.
He had a couple, didn't he, toward the back end of the season when he turned a few decent ones in. Like, but he always does those games, you know, when he's got a little bit of personal interest in them and he knows a little bit about the club as well. Like, I mean, obviously decent record against us, of course, but that's a one where. Everyone's again looking at Chelsea going, oh, sorry, look, he's already got them up and running. No, they're going to be blah, blah,
but
blah,
the space
blah, blah.
That they were given to Arsenal will encourage Rafa.
Yeah.
And if there's anyone who can game plan for using that space and utilising it is him.
And Arsenal West Ham at the Emirates, but that's another one that's got... Imagine if West Ham picks something up. I've just rewatched the first Kingsman movie and the bit where all the heads blow up. That's basically what the Emirates is going to be like.
I think Arsenal will cut loose properly that one. I think that's set for them. It's at the Emirates. Yeah. I think they'll and West Ham. You could see they're fragile at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah.
Against us, you could see they're. They could have a repeat of last season.
The other one, of course, Wolves hosting Man City in the early kickoff on the Saturday. I mean, all the early optimism about Wolves could have been flushed down the toilet after three games here, but that's got all the hallmarks of if Man City weren't absolutely superb in the all glorious, all conquered Manchester City, you'd be like.
Which before our game is it? Oh, imagine! That's what I'll be watching because our game won't have happened.
Absolutely, but yeah, let us know your thoughts in the comments below on all the stuff and how you think our opponents are going to get on this weekend. Score predictions before we wrap up, Chris.
I'm going to go 3-0 Liverpool.
Okay.
One in the first 10 minutes. You don't have to do this, Rob. One between 30.
Oh, I will.
One between 30 and 45, and one between 45 and 60.
Okay, cool.
When they come out at us needing something, we just hit them, and then we just take Firmino off and do what we normally do.
I like that.
I'll fret until it happens, but 9-1. They'll score first.
One every 10 minutes.
They'll score first. Yeah,
absolutely, sir. No, to go back to the formula of what Liverpool have been doing, two goals in the first half an hour would be absolutely lovely, and then see how it goes. Three or four, I'll take 4-0. Why not? Score predictions in the comments below. Of course, check out Rob on the Anfield Wrap. The Gutter Show is an absolute glorious.
Don't stop it. It is great.
Yeah, it is. It's good. And of course, go and check out the redmentv.com. As I say, we've got loads of extra stuff, including the aforementioned newsroom podcast between these two lads. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for subscribing. And we'll see you post-match.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.